welcome to the AOL podcast. Let's dive right into this week's message.
If you ain't first or last. No, he didn't say that. Ricky Bobby said that. But he talks about, like, when he's talking about husband and wife, the two shall become one flesh. If you want to be an adult, you got to first be a child. You know the things that I'm talking about, but, you know, they're arguing over some things. And Jesus says this in Mark chapter 10 and verse 43, but it is not this way among you. Rather, whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Aren't you thankful for the example that Jesus is for us? Well, as much as the example as Jesus is for us, I'm going to tell you tonight, my father, who is here, my parents both are the greatest example of servants that I've seen. And I love the Word of God. You guys know that. I love it. I love it. I cherish this book. But can I tell you why I cherish it? Because they cherished it. And they still cherish it. I love the house of God. You know why? Because ever since I was breathing, I was in the house of God, serving with them. I mean, alongside. I'm 40, and I'm until tomorrow. But all my life, we've served in the house of God. And I'm so honored tonight to have my father here and share the word of the Lord with you. You're going to see where I get all my good looks. All my wisdom is passed down, but I can't say enough about them. They need no introduction, but I believe that would be one of them, of serving the house of God and serving the Lord recklessly, and they've been an example to me. And I just hope I'm half the dad he has been to me. I hope I'm half the pastor that he is to his congregation. And so just put your hands together tonight and welcome my hero, my dad, my father. Love you.
Hello.
Hey.
Wow. Thank you, son. That was awesome. That was really good. Hallelujah, but the good looks and the wisdom probably came from your mother.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Travis this afternoon, and we have four sons. I was thinking that he probably was the easiest to raise. Would you agree? He was. He was a fun kid. He always was very witty, and he was, it's amazing. I was the principal of a Christian school for a long time. And when he went to Christian school, he liked me. I mean, like, we got along, and he liked to come by the office during class or between classes. He'd come by and say, "What's up, Dad?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm working, son." And he just wanted to say hi. His two brothers are 9 and 10 years younger, and they would have nothing to do with the office except when they needed money. It was just a whole different thing. Now, I love them, and they love me, but it was just a whole thing. And I think he didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what other kids thought about that. He just loved me. And other guys, they were a little intimidated by the fact that their dad was the principal. But he was good. And, you know, the Bible says this. It says in 3 John 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth." And so I believe I have no greater joy than you two. Brandy's our kid now, and these are our grandkids. And I have no greater joy than to know that you walk in the truth. That gives me so much joy. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad to be here tonight. We just listened to him yesterday, or the day before yesterday, when we were coming over here, or down, up here, down here. Okay, that's where we were coming down. From Colorado. So, but we were listening to him, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, how do you follow him? That I was thinking, wow, he is so funny. But he always funny. He always has been funny. But tonight I wanted to talk to you about something, and I think this is so important. I'm sure everybody in here, you're serious about your walk with God because you're here on a Wednesday night. I mean, and probably you're here on Sunday morning too. If you're serious, there's a couple of things that really stick out to me. If you're serious about your walk with God, then you will be here when you have church. Number one, you're a faithful attender of church. The other thing that I really think is important is if we are prayers. You know, it's so important that we pray. And I think our country's in dire straits right now. There's so many things going on. We live in Boulder County, which is the most liberal county, I believe, in Colorado.
In the world.
In the world. Yeah, in the world. And so here we are, our little conservative church right in the middle of it. You know, but the Bible tells us we have to let our light so shine before others, right? That they may see our good works and it glorifies Him. And that's our goal. We want to glorify God. We want to walk with Him, but we want to glorify Him at the same time. So I really believe that this is a time for us to be on our knees and praying. Yes. And asking God for help. Dude, I mean, because we're really in tough shape right now because, you know, we have crazy people who run our country. Sometimes it seems to me like they do everything that they can to mess this country up. And I just think, what are they even thinking about? But it's not so much them, it's the devil. Amen. I mean, we live in evil, perilous times. We're living in the last days, maybe the last of the last days, I don't know. But I know this, that it's a time when we have to be on our knees and praying. We have to preach the gospel. We have to get people saved. We have to pray for our prodigals. We are the ones who have to, we're the ones who are supposed to turn this thing around. The only thing that's left between us and a takeover, I mean, our country and a takeover, is us, the church. And it's really, I'm so glad that it's time for us to step up. And not just pray, but sometimes we have to do things too. The one thing that we just did yesterday was vote. It's so important that we vote. You know, if you don't vote, I just can't imagine. If you don't vote, I don't think you're serious about your country. I don't understand why you wouldn't vote. So, anyway, I'm going to get into it tonight. The name of this is If My People. I told Travis I preached this all over the world. Actually, I preached it in one place, in Longmont. But it's called If My People. And, you know, I'm going to be talking about a very familiar scripture tonight. And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we all know it. If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. He will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And so I just want to, maybe my whole point tonight is we need our land healed. Yeah. So would you do your part if you knew that if you followed these instructions that are in this scripture, if you knew that would heal your land, would you do that? Would you take time during the day to spend time with Him and pray? And so in 2 Chronicles 7:12, I'm just going to take this real slow. It says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Now, this was the second time that he had appeared to this man. The other time was when he just took over for his famous father, David. And he was very young. And it said that the Lord appeared to him now, but he appeared to him then. Remember, he was a young kid, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream at night. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? And so he said this. He said, I'd like to have an understanding heart that I may know the difference between evil and good and I can judge my people. And he went on to say, before that, though, he said, I'm just a child. And you put your servant over this country instead of my father, David. And they're so vast. There's so many of them, they're uncountable. But these are your chosen people, and I am a child. And he said, so what do you want me to do for you? And so he said, I need an understanding heart. And I was just thinking, that is so good that we asked for it, that he asked, this young guy asked for an understanding heart. So the Lord said this. He says, you know what? I'm going to give you a wise and an understanding heart so that you can judge, but I'm going to give you much more. I'm going to give you riches and honor. And then he went on to say this, there's never been a king like you, and there will be another king like you again. And when you read about him, you just go, wow, the wealth, the wisdom, the economy that he had. Everybody had a garden in their yard. I mean, everybody was doing, the whole country was doing really good when he was walking with the Lord. And at this time he was. And so he appeared to Solomon this other time. This is when he prayed. And he was, you know, he built a temple that his dad wasn't able to build because he was a warrior. And so he said, but one of your sons will. So he picked Solomon. Solomon was going to build the temple. And so when he did finally build his temple, he prayed. Now, part of that prayer is this. In 2 Chronicles 6, 26 and 27, it says this, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because we have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk. And send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. So that's just part of the prayer. You know, it was very long, and he said, "Keep us from the enemies and different things." But I thought this was relevant because when the heavens have shut up, you know, right now, and it's so relevant for you because you need the heavens to be open. You really do. We always need them to be open in Colorado because it's really dry. And when we get rain, we rejoice. We get a lot of snow, though, in the winter, and that don't make me so happy. But we've been there almost 30 years, and I'm still not used to being cold. But this is relevant for us tonight. And so he goes on to say this. He said, he appeared to him and he said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now in verse 13, it says, 13 to 14, it says this, I will shut up heaven, and therefore when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, then he says this, the famous statement. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will turn and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, this is really a landmark passage. It's in the Bible. The Lord is calling his people to pray. You know, prayer, it enacts God to work in our behalf more than anything else, because prayer is this system that God set up for us to communicate with him. We can communicate, we can commune with him, our God in heaven, through our prayers. Now, in this scripture, there are four conditions, first of all. Four conditions, but if you do these four conditions, then after that, there's a threefold promise of revival that will be fulfilled. Now, when I think of revival, I just think, and I have a, I'm going to share a definition for revival at the end of this, but revival to me is very personal. I think if we're going to have revival, when I think of it, I think like an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that people are saved, their lives are changed, they're healed, that marriages are put back together, that prodigals, I talk about prodigals a lot because when they come home, I mean, that's a move of God, and it's when the presence of God comes in, and it's like a gift to us, and he just comes. It's a revival, but that's personal too. Each one of us, we have to be revived in our heart. And I think that's really where we're at right now. Everybody should be revived. You should have a revival in your own life. Yeah. And the way you do that is what you're doing tonight. You get into the Word of God and you pray in the Holy Ghost and you listen to God. You follow His commandments and you walk with Him every day, every day. And so if you continue to do that, then it changes your life. It changes the way you live, the way you think, who you hang around. It just makes a difference in everything that you do.
Yeah.
That's called revival. I mean, I'm constantly working on reviving me. And it's important for us to all be that way. We should be excited about being in church. Anytime we come in here, when I was walking in here, I wanted to jump around. I love worship. He loves worship. Rhonda, I mean, I know that they both love worship. But we used to worship in our house when you was a little kid. We didn't have a bunch of guitars and stuff, but we worshiped, and we were seeking after God way back then, and it's never changed. So these conditions that I was talking about, first of all, he said, if my people who are called by my name, you know who he's talking to? He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. He's talking to his covenant people. Now, we have a covenant with God because of the blood of Jesus. Yes. Yeah, you always go back to the cross. Mm-hmm. What he did, everything that changed us started right there at the cross. Right. Hallelujah. He shed his blood. His body was pierced. His body was bruised. And he went through all this suffering for who? Us. He did it for every one of us. And so when you think about that, I'm glad I'm one of his people. And we're part of his covenant. It's a union between Jesus and his people. And we're washed in the blood. And you know, it's important for us to stay in that place. And we're always talking about if those people out there, if they would just get saved. But he says right here that if your land is going to be healed, it's when his people repent. When his people turn their life around. Repent means this, that if you're going one direction, you just turn around. You turn that around. And so it says, when he talks about if they repent, that's talking about sin, which could be rebellion. It could be any attitude or any kind of junk in your life that gets in the way of your relationship with the Lord. It could be anything like that. Now, listen to this. I did a lot of thinking about this, and I looked a lot of things up. But it says, our relationship with the Lord is valuable to him. We know it's valuable to us. But have you ever thought of it that way? You know, go back to the garden. I mean, he could have done everything without Adam, but he wanted a family. He wanted a family to be with, to walk with in the cool of the evening. In James chapter 2, there's a place where it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I mean, he was his friend. Can you imagine? Who's your friend? Oh, it's God. And then Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 11, it says this, that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend.
Yeah.
What a relationship. I mean, and if it's important to him, you think it should be important to us too?
Yeah,
it really should. So hopefully, the first thing is we're his people. He's talking to us tonight. He's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who know that you've been sanctified. No, and those, you know, I learned something about that here lately. That, you know, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, then you've been justified. But to be sanctified is a work.
Yeah.
And that's you. You decide daily if you're going to set your life apart from the world, if you're going to walk in his statutes, walk in his commandments, so that the whole to be sanctified is up to each one of us. But it goes with our relationship with him. I want to be sanctified. So we are his people, and it says if they humble themselves and pray, this is about our attitude that we go to God with. It should be an attitude of humility. Humility is this. It's a modest view of one's importance. I like that. A modest view of one's importance. You know, especially when it's to God, we're nothing. It just makes me think that sometimes, have you ever been around someone that it's obvious that they think pretty highly of themselves? And there's, you see people like that all the time. But what we need to do is be humble. And when we fail, we go to Him because we're sorry that we failed. And we, when we ask Him for forgiveness, then we go back and we commit our life to God. Because do you ever wish you had rewind? That you could just go back maybe just a few minutes ago or something like that? We can't do that. But God is so faithful. And when we do that, we recommit to Him, then we also find out something else, that we're so dependent on Him. We're dependent on Him. In fact, without Him, we can do nothing. And Jesus talked about it. He said this in John 15 to verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, there it is. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And when we abide in him, you know, when you abide in something, you live there. That's where you hang your hat. This is where I'm at. I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty God. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And it's really, I think that whole scripture there is about those two, or that first scripture in Psalm 91 is a decision that we make.
Yeah.
You know, you choose to do that. And so, and it also is this, it's about being Christ-like. And that seems like such a challenge to me. Christ-like. And so if it's ever going to happen, though, then we need to know this. If we're a branch, then there's going to be sometimes when he's going to prune us. I was watching, Brandy did it today. She had these plants that are coming up. I don't even know what they were called, but she told us. But she was cutting the dead stuff off, and it was already, she said, I want the green to show. She was cutting off that stuff. Now, when that happens to us, though, it's painful, isn't it? It's called discipline. Yeah. There's sometimes when he'll discipline, just like a father has to discipline his children or a mother. We have to discipline our kids. And when he disciplines us, it just makes sure that we continue have an abiding union with him. Because we want to walk with him all the time. I want to read these scriptures to you in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse, it starts with verse 7. It says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best for them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. The next verse says this. Now chastening seems to be not seems to be I'm sorry, no chast now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by them. So chastening actually is pretty good for us. Yeah. It seems painful at the time, but you know what we need to do again? It's that admission. Okay, Father, I'm coming to you because I messed up. So I heard this guy, you know, we always listen to people on the internet, and this guy was talking the other day. He said, can you imagine if Adam and Eve would have repented, if they would have just said, we blew it, Lord. But instead, he said, it was the woman. And the woman said, it was the snake.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just think it's important for us to know that we have a relationship with him. Yeah, I remember correcting our boys, and I remember that we gave swats, you know, and hopefully everybody, this is kind of a mature crowd, but But when I say that in my church, sometimes you just hear someone sucks the air out of the room. What? You did what?
We beat him here.
Yeah. Okay, good. I should have known. But it's like, you know, they need that chastening. And there's sometimes when we do have to spank our kids. But when you do that, you love them about 10 times more. You know, I love you so much. I want you to have a good life. I need to correct you. I'm not a good father if I don't get you back on the right track. I do this because I love you. And God does that for us. He tries to correct us. And so, anyway, the only thing that would keep us from going to him would be, I'm going to say pride. Either that or stupidity. You know, but I think I'm just going to pick pride because we think we can do this on our own. So we'll humble ourselves and pray, and then we'll seek his place. This is talk about when we're coming to God. We come to him with our whole heart. We want to get into his presence, and we just don't do it to escape adversity. Yeah. We don't, I mean, like, have you ever done that? Oh, Lord, help me, I did it again. You know, I did it, you know, or I said that, Lord, please forgive me. But we want to come to him, and because he cares about our relationship, he values it, he wants us to seek his face. In Isaiah, it says this in chapter 55 and verse 6 and 7. It says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. What a father we have. Oh, my goodness. I just think that is so cool. You know, I just value the fact that I am a father. I'm still a father today. And if you're a mom, then I know you value that too. There's nothing better. When I see these kids, I how much they've grown every time we come. Of course, we don't come that much. We need to come more often because they won't come there. It don't seem like. Okay. But anyway, every time we come, they're bigger. They've grown. And we have, on our staff, we have a couple of young guys with babies. And I always tell them this, value this time right now, because you'll turn around and they'll be in high school. You'll turn around, they'll be going to college. You turn around and they're leaving, you know, and all that stuff. It was never, I remember when Travis left, it was so hard for us. We took him to college and Rhonda and I went, and we went in our car and we had his two little brothers. I'm telling you, we were heartbroken. Because in fact, we left there and drove about 50 miles, and my wife said, let's go back and get him. No, honey, we can't go back and get him. And so I found out later, though, that evening he went cliff diving, or he's jumping off a cliff into the lake. So I guess he didn't feel as bad as we did. But he was sad, too. Praise the Lord. Seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways. That's anything that displeases God. Anything that is contrary to his will. Well, his will is the word of God. You know, anything that like that, and we turn back toward God. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. The Bible says this in John 16:13, that he guides us into all truth. The Bible says this in Galatians 5:16, that if we walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he's made for a way for us to turn from his ways. And when we go back to him, then we go back to him. And a couple of things that came to me was, the first one was idolatry. Now, that sounds awful. I mean, like, you know, idols that people worship. But idolatry is anything that gets between you and God. It could be anything. And the other one is conformity to the world. And that is so tempting. It's so tempting for so many people. These, you know, a lot of Christians, and even today there's a lot of Christians that come to church on Sunday, but they're still hung up. I mean, it's like they're walking and they're drawn to the world. They're tempted in a way that's common to God, and we're all that way. But the Bible says that we need to renew our mind, that we transform. We're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the more word that we get on the inside of us, then we're able to turn away from that. But when we do, we turn from our wicked ways, and he shows us mercy, forgiveness, and cleansing. God cleans us up. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But then in 4:9 it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's the key. You have to be single-minded about walking with God. Yeah. You cannot be double-minded. And even if you are tempted, if you're grounded in the Word of God, you can overcome that temptation. With everyone, he makes a way of escape. Amen. And so in Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16, now I really love this scripture because this is the God we go to. When we're going for forgiveness, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but with all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I love that, without sin. And it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. Yeah. That's who we go to. Doesn't that sound easy? I mean, it really does. I mean, he was tempted in every way like us, but yet he was without sin. And, you know, I don't think that we're ever going to stop sinning. I mean, I think we do it less and less the older we get. You know, I don't do the same things. You know, when I walk into a bank, I've never been tempted to rob one. I mean, I don't have to say I will not rob this bank in Jesus' name. I bind that thought in Jesus' name. But there's other things. I mean, each one, we're tempted in a way, a common way. But we're all different, and we're all tempted in different ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of people are, well, I'm not going to go there. Okay? Praise the Lord. So those four conditions, if they're met, then we have a threefold promise of revival. And again, that's the prize. We're looking for revival. And the first one is this. If all those things are true, I will hear from heaven. This is God talking to us. Hallelujah. He'll turn his anger from his people and he'll hear us. If we're desperate, we desperately cry out to him with an attitude of humbleness or humility as we pray. And when we pray, he doesn't only forgive us, but he shows us his compassion. Yeah. You know, compassion is love in action. He loves us. If I have compassion for someone, then I'm going to do something about their suffering. And, you know, if I'm really a compassionate person, if I love them that much, then I'm going to. A few days ago, I was listening to this guy, and he just wrecked me. Because he was talking about if you see homeless people. And in Longmont, we have many. I'm sure you do, too. Homeless people. And, you know, a few years ago, even our mayor said, do not give them money. Give them a sack of groceries or you do something like that. But this guy, he's a pastor, and he said this. What if you had, the Lord gave you $10,000 in $100 bills? And what if you knew this, that every time you gave one of those $100 bills away, that he would give you another one? Would you, if you walked by that person, would you give them $100? I mean, it really challenged me. And so, because there's so many times when I kept that in my mind, and I would just drive by someone. But now it's kind of changed me. Today, we went to a store, and when we walked out, there was this man. Now, some people, it's pretty obvious that you don't need to give them money. You know, but here was a man out there, and he was playing his violin. And it was beautiful. I mean, he was just playing this beautiful music. And so I walked by him, and I started to get in the pickup. And I went, and I could hear that guy's voice. So I went back over there and gave him, not $100, but I gave him $20. Because I want to have compassion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we do that, we'll hear from heaven. The Bible says this, call on me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things to come, which you don't even know. Yeah. Hallelujah. I like this one. It's in Joel 2:12-13. It says, now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Isn't that cool? You don't take your clothes off. Rend your heart. And rip your clothes off. Turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. I love that. Praise the Lord. He'll hear from heaven. And then he says this, I will. He didn't say maybe I will, but he said, I will forgive your sins. If you knew you had a dad that loved you so much, and you really, what if you wrecked his car or whatever? You wrecked his car, and you just went in, and he loved you. You knew he loved you. I mean, it'd be easy for you to say, I just wrecked your car. Was it your fault? Yeah. What'd you do? I was driving too fast. But the whole time you're telling him this story, you know, he loves me. He loves me. And you know, but that's the way God is. He'll forgive us of our sins. And here's what he'll do. He'll restore your favor with him, presence, his presence, peace, truth. You'll be righteous. You'll be made right again. And his power. He restores all these things to you when he forgives your sins. In Psalm 85, 9 through 12, it says this, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Now, the fear of the Lord is, I think you can sum it up like this, that you love what God loves. Let me say it again. You love what God loves, but you hate what God hates. What does he love? He loves you. He loves people. He loves righteousness. He loves peace. He loves all that stuff. But we hate what he hates, and he hates sin. I mean, he loves every LGBTQ or whatever, and there's more of them. He loves them. He hates what they do, but he hates us when we lie. He doesn't hate us. He hates the lie. He still loves us, but he hates it. He hates the lie. And so He said this, the fear of the Lord. Actually, I'm telling you this because we've had a lot of, during the first 21 days this year, we fasted and prayed. We do that every year. And it seems like each year I learn more about fasting. And I just, the thing that I've really noticed about it is I believe it gets me closer to revival because it's about me. It's my challenge to get closer to him. So if I'm not eating and I'm spending time with him, and I think it's important for us, you know, to have, you know, to pick something that's going to cost us. So, but this year, when we did it, there were 25 people that met at 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday. I mean, we didn't do it for 21 days. It was just really 15 days. But Monday through Friday, we read this book called The Awe of God. And we learned about, it really was about the fear of the Lord by John Bevere. It's a really good book. And so, but what that did, it stirred people up. And I even had people make an appointment with me. And they thought this. They said, do we have to be afraid of God? And I said, oh, no. No, you're not understanding that book at all because you don't have to be afraid of him. The only time you need to be afraid is when you are not walking with him because God is not like that. God loves you. He just wants us to walk with him and fear him. We have a genuine respect for him. We revere the Lord. He's God and we're not. Hallelujah. And so let me start over. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. The glory that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Yeah. That's another, I love that. Hallelujah. This land, I declare it tonight, it will yield an increase. Amen. His increase. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And so he'll forgive us, and he will heal our land. I got there. He will heal our land. Now, when I think of that again, I think about rain. And you know what rain does is when it comes to a land, it pours out, and it physically it brings favor and blessing when it rains. But in the spirit, it's like a spiritual awakening by the Holy Spirit. It awakens us on the inside, and it's for his covenant people, but it's also for the spiritually lost. Yeah. It brings, when they see, when people see the rain and the Spirit of God comes and we have a revival. I'll just read this definition I have. I'm sure there's lots of them. But revival is this, a spiritual awakening after being in a state of dormancy and stagnation, and is usually characterized by renewed appreciation of God's holiness and a renewed passion for the Lord. A renewed passion for the Lord. Psalm 51 and verse 12 and 13, it says, Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. When we get revived, that's when we want people to, we do our part to change people's lives. Hallelujah. And I'm saying today, the rain's coming. I believe God's about to rain. Hallelujah. Not just in the panhandle of Texas, but he's going to rain on the earth right now. You know why? Because we've done those four things. I mean, I know you guys pray in here, but we got to keep it up. And we need to keep expecting the rain, the spiritual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit that just comes in. On Sunday mornings, I always tell those people when they come in, did you come expecting today? Yeah. Is your heart, are you ready to receive something from God today? And I always tell them, you know, sometimes I look out there, and when I say something like that, I swear they've been sucking on a lemon. But, and I don't know, and they'll go, yeah. You know, but I'm not sure that not they do or not. But I'm telling you, on the days when most people are, that's when the Spirit of God comes in there. And the rain begins to just be in our sanctuary. I sense his presence here so strong tonight. I have since I walked in. And so I believe God is raining on situations tonight. I really felt like when I was praying this afternoon that there was someone, that someone would be here tonight, and it's almost like I kept getting these words like I'm unraveling, I'm falling apart. And so, I mean, I don't know who that is, but I got news for you this evening. If that's the way you feel tonight, the presence of God is going to rain on that situation tonight. The presence of God is going to begin to work in that situation. He's going to turn your life around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other thing he showed me is this. You know that families are so important to God. And I believe that he is repairing things. That he's pulling things back together. Things that have been broken in families. Things for whatever reason. You know, most of the time it's because of a situation that maybe someone was angry and said something that they regret. But I believe that he's raining on that tonight because God loves you. God loves you so much. And he's going to turn that around because you're his kids. And he wants to bless you in every way. Amen. Amen. I just have one more little bit to read to you tonight. And I can't help but think that this is always, every time I read this, I just think about this is revival. In Joel 2, verse 28 through 32, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will," I don't know why I'm like this, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Say it tonight. My sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. This next part's about me. "Your old men shall dream dreams, but then the young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." You know, this is for everybody, men and women. This guy made an appointment with me the other day, or he was talking to me. I worked with him pretty regular, and he was really talking about the validity of women in ministry. And I just went, "No, I'm not going to argue with you about that." He said that he would pour his spirit out on boys and girls, on ladies and men, gentlemen. Hallelujah. Where am I at? "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." He's coming. He is coming. Hallelujah. I'm so excited because he is coming. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever. Hallelujah. "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance." That's another thing. I really believe in this time, the rain, he's going to deliver people who are messed up, hung up on different things, drugs, alcohol, pornography, anything, those things. I really believe that we're just going to have people come into the altar and just say, "You know what? I don't want this anymore. I don't want this bondage." I believe people are going to be, they're just going to be set free from depression. And that spirit of suicide that has attacked our young people, I believe they're just going to be coming to the altar and say, "Today God set me free." Why? Because of the rain. Hallelujah. "As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." That's a whole nother message there. You ever wonder? I hope I'm that remnant.
Yeah.
I mean, really. He talks about a remnant all the time. And I guess my own definition of that would be the one whose heart is bent toward him and walks with him, decides to do that. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to pray for you and turn it back over to your pastor. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for this people. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I sensed your hand from the beginning. I knew it ahead of time, though. I knew, Lord, I knew your hand was on this church. I see what you're doing. I see how you're prospering them. I see, Father God, how you're adding to this church daily such as should be saved. I see, Heavenly Father, how you're blessing them with signs and wonders and miracles. I see, Heavenly Father, that you're repairing marriages and you're healing bodies. Father, I was in so much agreement with Travis tonight when he was praying for that young man earlier. Hallelujah. I believe that his testimony is going to be wonderful because he's walking and believing. And Father God, I thank you that you continue to do that. I ask you to pour your spirit out on this place every time they get together. I thank you for words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I thank you for the gift of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all those wild things. Father, I believe that they'll just be commonplace in this body of Christ. Father, I give you praise for joy in here too. I believe this is a place of great joy. And Father, I thank you also for the peace of God that passes understanding, that keeps every mind and heart in Christ Jesus. Father, you're so good. You're so good. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We pray that you heard from God and that this message was for you. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people with this message. Arena of Life takes pride in connecting to God, to church, and to people. And we want to connect with you. So don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, to check out our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and to download the Church Center app and to choose Arena of Life as your church. And a special thanks to those who make a difference by giving generously. You help us change lives and produce weekly content like this that reaches the world. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can give by clicking the link in our bio, through the website arenaoflifechurch.org, or through the Church Center app. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week.